In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we celebrate All Saints Sunday. We are surrounded by this glorious cloud of witnesses, these saints, in a kind of mystical communion, both in heaven and on earth. Whether living or dead, their influence on you is like indelible ink being stamped upon you and ever present in your life. You do know that, don't you? I believe there is not one of us whose life has not been touched by the presence of God, by something or someone. That moment when God has been made real and near to you, we are filled with an assurance that somehow, even though we may never comprehend it fully, that God loves us and draws us to himself. And two, whether they have the word saint written before their names or not, they come into our lives. And that makes all the difference. It was, of course, Frederick Buechner, my favorite author. In his book, Wishful Thinking, he writes, "In his holy flirtation with the world, God occasionally drops a handkerchief. These handkerchiefs are called saints." I know you know that because I said it once before. You see, every time we come to church to worship, we are not alone. We are not alone. The saints gather right along with us. We call this the communion of saints. We affirm this in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the communion of saints. Okay? I recall a remarkable story told by Fred Craddock, one-time New Testament professor at Emory University in Atlanta. He once returned to the little church of his childhood in Tennessee. He hadn't been there in quite a few years, and so walking into the sanctuary, he noticed that they had purchased new stained glass windows. They weren't there when he was a little boy. Admiring the windows, he noted that set on the bottom of each window was the name of a donor of the window. But you know what? He didn't recognize one person. He said to one of the members, "You must have had many new folks join this church since I was a little boy. I don't recognize a single name." The person answered, "Oh, those people aren't members here. This town hasn't grown a bit since you were a child. Neither has our church. We bought those windows from a company all the way over in Italy." "Ah, they were made for a church in St. Louis. And when the stained glass windows arrived, none of them would fit." "Whoa." So the company said they were very, very sorry, and that they would make new windows. And they told them that they told the church in St. Louis to sell them wherever they could. "We bought the windows from them." Fred asked, "But don't you want to remove those names?" The man answered, "Well, we thought about it, but we're just a little church, not many of us here, never any new people. So we like to sit here on Sunday morning surrounded by the names of people other than ourselves." Are they surrounded by a cloud of witnesses? I think they are. At the bottom of those stained glass windows, somehow just having those names of the people they never met made God real and near to them in a most unique way. Don't you agree with me on that? I'd like to see that response. And two, it's something like, well, years ago when I was assisting at a Wednesday healing service at St. Stephen's in Philadelphia. You've been there before? Well, at the time, Roy Hendricks was the rector. His feet never were really on the ground, I thought. He was just a holy man. And he said he always felt the saints in the church. Well, that particular day, just before the laying on of hands for healing, which I was a participant, something or someone laid its hands first on me. And there wasn't anybody around that I could see. Not a soul that I could see. Whatever you might think, God was made real and very near to me in that mystical experience. That is true. You see, saints have a way of living in us because in some incomprehensible way, something of the love of God is transmitted through them, touching our lives not only once upon a time, but continues to touch us always, even today. You find them in scripture, in writers, in mystics, in poets like Mary Oliver, or my favorite poet, George Herbert, in artists, in paintings, yes, in music. Who's not inspired when on Christmas Eve we sing Silent Night, the composer, the words? How about when the choir sings the Messiah? Aren't you just filled? Yeah. I cannot say, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, without thinking of my mother, who told me that she said it every morning in her life. Then there's Teresa. Teresa, the 16th century Spanish mystic. We treasure her interior castle, her writing. As holy as she was, she also had a great sense of humor. There was nothing smug about her. She once said, I could be bribed with a sardine. I could do that with ice cream. Well, one time a visitor found her happily eating partridge that someone had sent to her. The visitor was horrified. A holy woman actually enjoying her food? What would people think? She said, let them think what they please. There is a time for partridge and there is a time for penance. She would love Trinity, wouldn't she? And all the spirit of hospitality we experience around food and fellowship. But I like Saint Dominic, mystic in Spain. You know what he did? He preached to the fish along the shore when no one would come to hear his sermons in church. Oh, well. We need these saints to keep reminding us who we are. We need Saint Francis climbing down from his horse to embrace a leper and giving his cloak and coins to remind us that we cannot turn our backs to those in need. We need Monica, the mother of the young Augustine of Hippo, to show us what long-suffering parenting is all about. We need the compassionate Mother Teresa. We need Florence Nightingale, Howard Thurman, preacher and mystic. We need Martin Luther King Jr., Bishop Desmond Tutu. We need all those known to us and those whom God only knows. They are the sung and the unsung saints of our Christian faith. They're the ones that listen with the inner ear of their heart to your pain, your fears, your longing to understand and to be understood, to love and to be loved. They are the ones who are more willing to give than to receive. And you know what? It is not so much a conscientious effort as it is a way of life for them, the way of Christ our Lord. You want to be in their presence forever because in their midst, something of the glory of the Lord touches you. And you long for that spiritual food that never perishes, for the living word of encouragement, for what life can be like in Christ Jesus. They are the ones that make God real and near. And so I wonder, who are those persons in your life, whether living or dead, that have made God real and near to you? Your mother? Your father? A relative? A teacher? A mentor? A stranger? Someone you least expected? These are oftentimes extraordinary people, we say, but they're very ordinary in their lives. But they do something. God speaks to them and they stop whatever they are doing and they listen. They comfort the comfortless. They take flowers to the sick and make hospital visits. They make casseroles and come to cookie bake. And through the gifts of love that God gives them, they make God real and near to you and all whom they touch with their hearts. During communion today, why not hold up their names in thanksgiving for their life and example? You do know that in Paul's letters to the New Testament, he calls God's people saints. All saints were called Christians. All Christians were called saints. Paul says, I say to you that we are all called to be saints, to reflect our Lord's divine character, mingled with awe and patience and humility. This is why you were born, to be saints of God and to make God real and near wherever you are. Give us grace, O God, to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we too may experience the inscribable joy you have prepared for those who truly love you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.